Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Here on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. I'm Chelsea Messenger, PJ Glasser, and for Jenks today. And we'll start with our biggest takeaways from the Eagles continuing to stack wins despite a lackluster offense. But man, is that defense something else. At 8:20, we'll get into our favorite plays in Monday Night Football. Speaking of lackluster, we get the Cowboys and the Raiders. But stay with us on this one, because this is where betting enters the chat. The total on this game is 50, so I do think you can make this game interesting by maybe betting on some props, and I think that a lot of these will be worth your wager. And then we saved our best for last. Our best bets come your way at 8:40. So, PJ, I was just kind of looking at the standings from last year in 2024 around week 11, and I think it kind of proves the point that we have been making, is that there just doesn't feel like there's that many dominant teams in the NFL this year. Like last year, I'm looking at the Bills and the Chiefs. The Chiefs were 9-1, and the Bills were 9-2. You look at the Eagles, and they had the same exact record at 8-2, but in their Week 11 game, they trounced the Commanders 26-18, and Saquon Barkley ran for 146 yards. So a far cry from what the offensive is doing this year. But also the Lions were 9-1, so it just feels like this year, I think that we need to preface what we say about the Eagles with the fact that it's all relatively speaking, like throughout the NFL, like we are just not seeing that many teams that you can say, oh, the offense is trustworthy, the defense is trustworthy, and they're stacking wins. So I understand it's very easy to look at this Eagles offense and say, another pedestrian performance, what's wrong with the Eagles? But this year, maybe that's all it takes. Maybe you only have to have two of the three categories where you have at least one trustworthy unit, either the defense or the offense, and you have to be able to pull out games at the end, because the Eagles at least are doing two of those things right.
100%. I think this year too, Chelsea, the difference between the AFC and the NFC is just nuts, because right now you have three of the four division winners in the NFC from last year are currently leading the division this year, with Chicago being the only one that isn't, but Detroit is right there, just a game back. But Philly and the Rams are the two top teams, and those were two of the teams coming into the season we thought would be at the top. So the NFC, even though, you know, maybe we didn't expect Chicago to be this good, or maybe Carolina lurking for a playoff spot, kind of all the teams, maybe Seattle, all the teams we kind of expected to be in there are probably in there. The AFC is just insane, though, because the four teams that won the division last year in the AFC, three of them wouldn't even be in the playoffs if it started today. Houston, Kansas City, Baltimore, all 5-5, all won their division last year. And then Buffalo, who won the AFC East, they're two games, or they're a game and a half back still of New England. So I think that's what makes it so crazy, is the chaos in the AFC. And you mentioned the records of the teams last year. I mean, look, Denver, New England, 9-2, Indy, 8-2. So from a record standpoint, these teams are very good. Again, it's just teams that we necessarily didn't expect to be this good, and the teams were not used to being the top teams in the AFC. The last 2 years, the AFC divisional round has been Baltimore, Kansas City, Buffalo, and Houston. Those have been the four best teams in the AFC the last 2 years. We figured New England, Denver, the Chargers, these teams would be better this year. They'd take a step up. But I don't know if we thought that in week 11, you know, that the four division winners from last year would, none of them would be leading their division at up to this point. So I think the difference in the parity between the AFC and the NFC is super fascinating. And to the point that you brought up, like, we had dominant teams last year, and it was the teams going into the year that we thought would be dominant. And right now, the teams that we thought would be dominant going into the season are just not. And a lot of them are outside of the playoff picture looking in, which is pretty wild. So it's going to be a final. It's going to be a fun final, like 6-7 weeks of the season, and excited to see how it all breaks out, especially in the AFC. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it does feel like the Eagles at least have things figured out on the defensive side of the ball to limit the Lions, and that offense that has so many explosive weapons to only 9 points is certainly something to hang your hat on. And the way that this defense has performed against the top contenders in the league is something that you can look at the Eagles and be like, okay, this is a consistent effort. They've got the playmakers, and we see this all the time. But let me ask you this. Like, we're getting late in the season quick. Like, we're standing at week 11, November 17th, and let's see, the Eagles have 7 more games left in the regular season. Do you think they'll ever figure out the offense? Because here's the thing, like, the personnel hasn't changed that much since last year, so maybe it's a schematic thing. I think people point at the offensive coordinator and they say, hey, can we do something different? Because clearly this is not working. But we say that every week, and then it's the same result where the Eagles can't even scrape together 20 points, but the defense holds up their end of the bargain. But do you think that we can expect that the offense can get better over these next few weeks?
I think so. But again, I think if you're an Eagles fan, maybe what you're clinging to is that you just follow the Chiefs blueprint from last season, where you're a team coming off a Super Bowl win. You're winning all these games that maybe necessarily you shouldn't be winning. You're not looking convincing at all. All the underlying metrics and stats tell you that you should not be this great of a team, that your record should not be this good, but you just keep finding ways to win. And then you look up at the end of the year, Kansas City's 15-2. They get the number one seed in the AFC. Teams have to go through Arrowhead, and they get right back to the Super Bowl, and they get exposed in the Super Bowl by a really good team. So, look, the Eagles, again, I mean, if the playoffs started today, they'd be the number one seed in the NFC. And even though they don't look all that great, like, how many teams do you like to go into Philadelphia and beat the Eagles, especially if it's a January or December game? Because, Chelsea, that's another thing too, right? Like, you're talking about a lot of these other top teams in the NFC. Probably the Lions and the Rams would be the first two that come to mind. Well, we know Jared Goff struggles outdoors and in cold weather. We saw that again last night. The Rams are an indoor team from LA traveling across the country to play probably in snow like they did last year, or cold weather. And we know Stafford doesn't prefer that. So it's just such a huge advantage for Philly, that home field and playing outdoors against some of these teams that, look, they don't really have to be impressive. I do think their offense is probably going to be better, but I don't think it has to be elite. It doesn't have to look like it did last year for this team to go back to the Super Bowl. You know, they know how to win ugly. They know how to just win, period. And I just think, you know, if they get home field and they get that number one seed, they're going to be a tough team to beat in the NFC.
Well, and even if the Rams get the number one overall seed, they don't have a home field advantage. Like, this has been noted by even the wives on the team, where it's Kelly Stafford pleading with Rams fans to please buy tickets so the opposing team doesn't buy them all up. So I think that, you know, you're onto something, certainly with the Eagles, if they continue to stack wins. But I do think the mentality is different for these teams who are coming off Super Bowl wins, or at least going to the Super Bowl. It almost feels like survive and advance, where you don't have to win big, you simply have to win, because you start from the schedule. When you win a Super Bowl, you're going to be playing in a bunch of primetime games, and you're going to be playing the best of the best, because that's kind of how scheduling works, is that the best teams play the best teams. You know, like, you're not getting an easy schedule coming off winning the Super Bowl. So I think it's one of those things where, you know, it's fine to cruise by and just win those games, just because your season last year was such a grind, having to play all those extra games. Then you get the tougher schedule. That I think that if you're an Eagles fan and you're standing at the ledge right now and you're like, oh, what's going on with their offense? A.J. Brown's going to throw an absolute temper tantrum. But at the end of the day, you're 8-2, and especially this year where we just talked about it, where it feels like there's more parity than we've seen in several years, I think the Eagles are just fine.
I mean, Chelsea, like, think about this, right? After week 11 last year, Saquon Barkley, 6 of those 10 games, because they had a bye in week 5 last year, 6 of those 10 games, Barkley ran for over 100 yards. Do you know how many games this season Saquon Barkley has ran for more than 100 yards? Just 1. That's it. So, I mean, that's the root of the Eagles' problems right there. We know how historic a season Saquon had. We know how unbelievable he was just about every week last season. They can't get that run game going. I mean, he's only had one game over 150 yards. So that's kind of the scary part with Philly, is they're winning all these games and they're really not running the ball well. If they can ever get Saquon going again, they're going to be tough to deal with. So, yeah, I mean, look, the Eagles, obviously, from an eye test standpoint especially, I mean, they're not looking good. They've only scored 2 touchdowns each of the last 2 weeks. But they've won on the road at Lambeau, and they beat Detroit at home. So they haven't been playing well at all against 2 of the top teams we perceive in the NFC, and they've won both of those games.
Yeah, I think sometimes stats can be misleading as well, because, like, you look at the Eagles, who have such a tough schedule, and they're, you know, having to play, like, contender after contender. And then you look at some of these teams, like, I hate to pick on the Colts, but, like, the Colts run up the numbers on, like, some of these bad teams, and they do have some good wins. I'll say that. I am just saying that sometimes it's not great apples to apples comparison when you're talking about offensive numbers. Let's talk about the Lions for a second, because speaking of contenders, the Lions do look like one of the best teams in the NFC, and I was really excited for this game. I did think that we would see more from this Lions offense, but again, you know, the playmakers on the Eagles defense are some of the best defensive playmakers we see across the league. So, PJ, did you have any takeaways on the Lions here? Do you think this tarnishes any opinion you had of them? Or do you say, hey, this Eagles defense is just playing on another level right now?
You know, it's just the same. The spread was the same for the Eagles-Lions game that it was for Chiefs-Lions when those two teams played on Sunday night. That's a game the Lions also lost and they didn't cover. I think my biggest concern for the Lions is Jared Goff, again, playing outdoors against elite teams. Like, if he has to do that in the playoffs, what that's going to look like. But as much as we all love Dan Campbell, and as much as he is one of the top coaches in the NFL, him going for it on fourth down, like, I think more often than not, is going to kill them in a lot of these big games. And a couple years ago, when they had that big lead in the second half against San Francisco, him trying to go for it on fourth down a lot, like, that got him into trouble. So, again, they were 0-for-5 on fourth down last night. And when you're a good team, when you're playing against a good team like the Eagles, like, think about how far, like, just kicking field goals would have got them in the game last night. I mean, if he would have kicked 3 field goals instead of going for it on some of those fourth downs, he could have won that game last night. So I know it's in his DNA. I know he's not going to change, but I mean, fourth down variance is so hit or miss. You just never know what it's going to look like on a week-to-week basis. And it's a tough part of the handicap with the Lions, because you know it's going to be a big part of a lot of games they play in. And more often than not, they're successful. But when it backfires on them like it did in that Chiefs game and like it did last night against the Eagles, it's hard to overcome that. So that's always a concern I have with Detroit, is that Dan Campbell, we all love the aggressiveness, but sometimes he just overdoes it just a little too much, and it can really hurt his team.
I think people like to forget this, or just, like, shove it under the rug, just because Dan Campbell is so likable. And I think people don't want to poke holes in him, but you're right. Like, a couple years ago, this was a very big reason, or at least one of the reasons, that, you know, was kind of their Achilles heel. And the postseason is, you know, the decisions to go for it on fourth down. And I'll say this, like, they weren't even good on third downs last night either. 3 of 13 on third downs, 0 of 5 on fourth down. Like, that's not going to cut it. But you're right. Like, when your defense, and I think this is something to hang your hat on as well. Like, the Lions defense is, you know, had some hits and some misses, but the defense was pretty solid. You know, when you limit the Eagles, and I understand the Eagles have not had the best offensive showing this year, but still, you limit Jalen Hurts to only 135 yards passing, you're doing something right. So it's got to be disappointing for this defensive unit to continue to limit the Eagles to field goals for most of the night, and then you come away empty-handed because your offense can only score 9 points. Very few games are you going to win in the NFL when you can only put up a 9.
Chelsea, I think it's one of the most underrated parts of being an NFL coach that not a lot of people talking about, and it's the decision to go for it or kick a field goal. And as fans, we can sense, right? Like, when you see the offense go back out there on fourth down and you're like, why are they going for it? Like, they're just not going to get it. Like, kick the field goal. You're going to get stuffed. Like, don't do that, right? I mean, you saw it so many times in the Washington-Miami game yesterday. Like, they're such important decisions that don't get talked about enough, but it's one of the biggest things a head coach does every Sunday or whenever they play, that decision to kick or go for it. And Dan Campbell, if he has the chance, is almost always going to go for it. And, like you said, it doesn't get talked about enough because of how likable he is, but usually it's the downfall of the Lions in big games.
Yeah. All right. So we have a big game in quotation marks tonight, Monday Night Football, Cowboys and Raiders. We can make it big, though, if we have a bunch of bets. We'll give you ours after the break on the Daily Dip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We got Monday Night Football on the cards tonight. So, of course, you know we're going to have some bets for you guys. Cowboys and Raiders on the docket. I'm Chelsea Messenger, PJ Glasser in for Jenks today. So, PJ, we were just talking about this during the break, and the total in this Cowboys-Raiders game is 50. So I do think a lot of people will look at the anytime touchdown bets and say, oh, you know, this is a great market for anytime touchdowns. And, you know, maybe there's, you know, 11 touchdowns scored in this game, and we see something like the Giants and the Cowboys earlier in the season. But I was just saying this. I feel like based on the prices that we get for anytime touchdowns, I wrestle with the fact that I don't really think that these are always smart bets. Because we see this all the time. A guy like, say, a running back can have a banner night, where I think Derrick Henry is probably the best example of this, where he can run for like a buck 50 and, you know, be really efficient and have all these big runs. But then it comes to, you know, the red zone, and it's somebody else who gets the actual touchdown. So we see some of these games where Derrick Henry's like minus 200 to score a touchdown, and he doesn't even score one. So when it comes to props, I don't find myself being a big anytime touchdown bettor.
I'm with you, not as much anymore. I mean, the prices for these guys to score just aren't good. It's that keyword value that is talked about so often on these betting shows, but just feels like nowadays, I mean, these anytime touchdown prices are not good at all. Like Genty to score a touchdown tonight, minus 165 on BetMGM. Why would you ever lay that price with Ashton Genty to score a touchdown? Now, if the Raiders do score, he's probably the one finding the end zone. And I understand Dallas has a bad defense, but my God, the Raiders offense has been atrocious this season. So to lay that kind of price, not great. Even Javonte Williams, I know he scored a lot of touchdowns for Dallas at minus 165. Like, that's crazy. So usually I think nowadays, Chelsea, when it comes to anytime touchdown market, I like chasing the quarterbacks. I think that's where the value is. Now, obviously, it depends, right? Like, Matt Stafford's price is going to be a lot better than, like, Jalen Hurts' price and those kind of things. But both quarterbacks tonight are 7-1 with Dak and Geno Smith. Both are capable of a QB sneak if they're short and in distance. Both are also capable of scrambling if nothing's open. So when I get quarterbacks like that, like, again, Aaron Rodgers doesn't do QB sneaks. Some of these quarterbacks don't do them. But if you get quarterbacks that do and quarterbacks that will take off if there is a lane, I think that is worth a look. So I kind of think nowadays with anytime touchdown scores, like, those are kind of the only guys where there's value potentially. So that would be the one I look at. Like, I like Pickens to find the end zone tonight, but at plus 135, like, that just doesn't really excite me all that much. I'd rather just bet his longest reception prop, like you were talking about earlier, his receiving yard something. So, yeah, the market, it seemed like, was a lot more fun a couple years ago. But nowadays, the prices are just not as enticing as they were.
I just feel like if you bet on yardage, like, you have more opportunity and the floor is higher for, like, you know, you to get your bet, as opposed to, I was just looking at the Raiders. The Raiders are averaging 15 points a game this year. That's roughly two touchdowns if you're lucky. So you are saying one of those two touchdowns has to be Ashton Genty. So, like, I don't love the chances there just because it feels like other guys can get in. And you're talking about, like, quote unquote value on some of these quarterbacks. Like, the Dallas defense is plus 550. Defense or special teams touchdown is actually a shorter price than Dak Prescott to run it in. And it's based on numbers, and Dak Prescott has not scored a lot of running touchdowns so far this season. But I feel like relative to the price, you know, there's a window and a chance for Dak Prescott to score a touchdown, especially when you talk about these games and these teams that are kind of in desperation mode. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, I love quarterback rushing props, not even the touchdown ones, but, like, just the rushing props, when teams feel like they're in a very desperate spot. Like, I don't love betting on quarterback rushing props when a team's going to win by, like, 30, because why would you risk getting yourself hurt? But again, for some of these teams who are, you know, desperate to win games, desperate to, you know, keep their team in it, I do feel like that's the time to bet on quarterbacks to take off with their legs.
Totally agree. I especially like that in the playoffs. That's always the first thing I look for, because the nice thing about the playoffs is when those lines and games drop, the props immediately drop as well. There's so much data on these teams. The books already kind of know the numbers they want to go with, and those things get steamed the closer and closer we get to kickoff. So to your point, a lot of these big games, these quarterbacks, instead of maybe when it's week two, they just throw the ball away or they just slide down, they might be lowering the shoulder and trying to get some extra yardage. So that is always a good angle in some of these big games, and then could obviously lead to them finding the end zone. So, I mean, you bring up a really good point again about the Raiders. They only average 15 a game, probably two touchdowns, and Genty's minus 165 to score two of them. So I do like that. But yeah, I think you're right. Like, if you're going to go with a top running back or top receiver, instead of betting them to score a touchdown, just get the better number at these alt prices, right? Like, don't bet Jenty to score a touchdown. Bet his alt number to go over 100 rushing yards, or CeeDee Lamb that we were talking about earlier. Why bet him to score at plus 110 when you can bet him to have 100 or more receiving yards at plus 135? Like, that just seems like the better bet to me. So kind of think that's where we're transitioning nowadays, is the alt market for these top guys is better than for them to find the end zone.
Yeah, I do think that if you get to the plus money side of things, then obviously, like, not to get into the math too much, but you don't have to win at nearly as high of a clip to be, you know, come out profitable as if you do where you're betting minus 140s and stuff. And I have had to learn that the hard way. But still, I understand it's very easy to cling to the ones that feel like the quote-unquote safe bets. Let's get some bets on the card, though. So the line in this game is the Cowboys laying 3.5, total of 50. So let's start there. From a side or a total standpoint, is there anything that you would put on the card here?
Yeah, I would probably lean towards the Raiders +3.5. I don't think it'll be a full unit play for me, but probably like a half unit just to have some interest on the game. And it really just comes down to Dallas, and I do not want to lay 3.5 points on the road in an NFL game with that defense. They're going to be able to score, but as we know, they tend to have a tough time getting stops, and the Raiders have had a tendency to play some teams tight at home this year. So I do think it can be a close game. Both teams coming off a bye week, so both teams should be fresh. You get the better head coach with Vegas and Pete Carroll, maybe have his team a little bit better prepared. So I like the Raiders +3.5. I'm staying away from the total at 50.5. Anytime the Cowboys are involved, you would probably lean towards the over, but just because of how bad the Raiders' offense has been this season, I can't get there with betting an over or even an under. So pass on the total. I would lean Raiders +3.5.
Yeah, it also feels like we've seen like a lot of rock fights in primetime games as well, which I don't think it's going to be the case here. But again, you're looking at a total of 50. So you need a lot of points. You need people to convert inside the red zone with touchdowns and not field goals. Those are killers of the over. So I'm not going to lean towards a side here. I just think the takeaway for me is that the Cowboys have not been a trustworthy favorite, losing outright in three of their last four games as favorites. So I would say don't bet on the Cowboys. Maybe if you lean towards a side, it's the Raiders. But boy, have the Raiders looked bad this year as well. So none of the above for me. I do think that this is going to be a great game for props. And I think we have several good options. Just simply from a grid standpoint, if you look at matchups and you look at like fantasy points against and what other teams are allowing against like opposing receivers, like the Cowboys feel like a smash spot for opposing wide receivers because they're giving up the most fantasy points and the most receiving yards to opposing wide receivers. But this is where it gets kind of tricky. The Raiders feel like they don't have a true number one receiver right now because they trade away Jacoby Myers. And so last game, it was Tyler Lockett who had the most targets. I think he only had like 40 yards receiving, though. It was against the Broncos. It was not, a great game for him. But still, you look at the receiving core and you say, okay, maybe they treat Brock Bowers as somebody who is your number one receiver, even though he's a tight end. But the number on Brock Bowers tonight is 72.5, and it's juiced at minus 140. Sometimes when they put these numbers like alarmingly high, I will say this, guys can go way over them. And we've seen Brock Bowers have a massive game this year, had 127 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Jags earlier this season. Plus, he feels like he's fully healthy back in the lineup tonight. So maybe that's why that number is where it is. But from a receiving standpoint, do you go with somebody on the Raiders or do you trust the Cowboys receivers who don't on paper have the best matchup? But like, it's not like the Raiders are a defensive stalwart either. And CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens feel like they have higher floors.
Yeah, we talked about Pickens earlier. I would probably look at him on the Cowboys side. He's been so consistent this year for Dallas. He really has, and he popped off in a couple of games without Lamb, but since CeeDee's return, he's still stayed pretty consistent, and he's right around that like 75-80 receiving yard range, and he's got a favorable matchup again tonight. And then, you know, I think Ferguson's taken a big hit from Lamb returning, where Ferguson was getting a ton of receptions, yards, touchdowns. His production has dropped, so I think Ferguson would be the guy to probably fade, and then Pickens would be the guy to look at. Like you said, I think Lamb's price is a little too inflated or a little too much juice. Then on the Raiders side, you know, it's tricky. Dallas is the worst in the NFL from a fantasy standpoint, mm-hmm. Chelsea, in terms of opposing wide receivers, but they're middle of the pack against tight ends. But as we know, Brock Bowers isn't your average tight end, and the Raiders, he's essentially their number one guy. So I don't look into that too terribly much, and you could argue because he kind of is a receiver, probably should have a good game against this Dallas defense. I think the Lockett angle is interesting. I think Tucker is pretty fascinating too. I think because those guys, their totals are a little bit lower and they are going up against such a bad pass defense, I would probably look more so towards them. I think Lockett's pretty interesting as well with the lower number. So, you know, I think Tucker, Lockett would be the guys on Vegas that I would look at. And I think I would roll with Pickens tonight if I were to do anything in the prop market with any of the Dallas wide receivers. He's just been super consistent, super steady. And I think this is another good matchup for him tonight against that Raiders secondary.
I also think that you have to look at the overall offense, because you need a quarterback who obviously can get the ball to your receiver or your tight end. And you need an offense that can move the chains, you know, and pick up first downs. And right now, I'm not sure if I can trust Geno Smith. Like, when you're looking at somebody who's had, like, 143 yards. Okay, he had 284 against the Jags, 67 yards against Kansas City, 174 against a bad Titans defense. That's the thing. It's that if you have one of these receivers, say Brock Bowers, for 72.5 yards, that is a very large slice of a pie that feels like a small pie. So for me, I think I'd rather trust a receiver in an offense on Dallas that's scoring the third most points of any team in the league. Like, it does feel like it's a more consistent offense overall, so I feel like the pie is bigger. So when you take a slice of it, it feels more comfortable to me to go with somebody on the Cowboys. And you look at George Pickens, and he's putting up CeeDee Lamb-type numbers, but you get him for 20 yards less. Like, George Pickens' mm-hmm. number tonight is 65.5. CeeDee Lamb is 89.5. So if both of those guys have been having similar outputs, also with George Pickens having, you know, the long receptions, like, he's the down the field guy, and that could be a big chunk yard that, you know, if you're talking about 65 yards, he's had long receptions of over 40 yards in three games this year. So I think George Pickens, if you're picking, like, you know, an order of props tonight, I think I'm going to go with George Pickens at number one.
I think I'm right there with you. I think this could be a Pickens game tonight as well. If you're looking at the running backs, Chelsea, would you do anything with Genty tonight, or even with Javonte Williams? Javonte's been a fantastic, like, he's scored a lot this season. He's got 8 touchdowns for Dallas so far. He's hit or miss when it comes to the rushing numbers. You know, he's had 2 games where he's gone over 100. He's had a game where he's gone for 97. He had 83 in their last game against Arizona. So he's kind of been up and down. He's been pretty consistent. And again, against the Raiders defense, like, I could see him having a good game. And then Genty has been a little bit better, you know, at times. He's only had 1 game. He's gone over 100 yards. That Raiders offensive line is no good. And because there's no threat of the pass, they kind of just load up mm-hmm. on Genty in the box. But again, Dallas's defense isn't great. So maybe this is the kind of game where he does have some success. I'd probably lean more towards Javonte if I had to. But because the matchup tonight, they're going up against a bad defense, like, maybe this is a game where Genty has some success.
I just don't know. Again, it's one of those things where you have to trust the offense as a whole. Because, like, think about it. If they can't get the passing game, like you mentioned, it's a lot easier to stuff the run. However, we have seen, like, little flashes of Ashton Genty. What was it? Was it that Broncos game where it was, like, the first quarter he was, like, running all over him? And you're like, wow, Ashton Genty, you know, he's really made his mark here. But he only finished with 60 yards. So I think a lot of it kind of depends on the number tonight. So let's see what it is, because sometimes it's a matter of, okay, the number's low. 62.5. That's still a pretty healthy total. And you're talking about a Raiders team where, if you believe the odds makers, they're going to be in a losing game script. Maybe not by much, but I don't love playing running backs who are supposedly going to be playing from behind. All right, coming up next, we'll put our money where our mouth is and tell you our best bets of the entire day. It's coming up next here on the Daily Tap, presented by BetMGM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, we're back. Time to land the plane. It's the final segment of the Daily Tip here on a Monday. I'm Chelsea Messenger, PJ Glasser, and for Jenks today. And in mere moments, we'll give you our favorite plays of the slate, whether it's NFL, whether it's college basketball. I was just talking with PJ about Maction, and I was just saying, I feel like I haven't followed it at all this year. I understand it's not Mondays, but it's like Tuesdays or Wednesdays, I think, like, after the month of October. I don't know. Like, maybe it's because my plate has been so full with, like, the NFL, and we've had so much going on with college football where it's not only handicapping the games, but also handicapping the college football playoff, that maybe it's just I have too much on my plate. And also with, like, college hoops creeping in as well. Let me ask you, like, what's the most degenerate football game you think you've watched this year?
It's a good question. Probably Missouri State and Marshall, I want to say. All the way back early
Why? Early on in the season.
Well, I bet USC against Missouri State in week one. They were laying like 36.5. It was Missouri State's first year in FBS football. And Denton knows this. Like, you just bet Lincoln Riley the first couple weeks in the season when he's at home playing like crappy, you know, low level teams. He just runs up the scores and they just demolish him. So I watched the game because I wanted to see USC, and I was actually impressed with Missouri State. And I'm like, this team's like not awful. Like, I kind of like them. And Marshall played Georgia in week one, so I knew they were going to be a little beat up. And Missouri State was like a 9.5-point dog, and I'm like, I think that's too many points. So I took them plus the 9.5, and I took them on the money line as well, and they actually won the game outright. So I was locked in on Missouri State, and it was a great game, and I was happy that they won outright. So that was probably my most degenerate game, Chelsea. That's how it goes. You know, you bet a game, and then you realize, like, oh, that team's not terrible, and you bet them again, and, you know, you end up spending a Saturday watching Missouri State and Marshall.
I feel like bettors never forget. It's funny how, like, if you just ask sports fans, like, what the score of a certain game is, and I feel like they don't remember, bettors remember. Like, they can tell you to a T what happened, because it just feels like if you have money on a game, like, you gonna remember if you win that game or not. And especially when it comes to bad beats. Like, you definitely don't forget those ones where you lost money and you should have won money. But I'll say, like, when it comes to college football, I don't feel like I bet on as many, like, quote-unquote degenerate games as I do in college hoops. Like, degenerate season is coming up. I don't think that they have the same team names anymore, but IUPUI versus IPFW, like, I think that's the worst game across all sports that I've ever bet on in basketball.
There was a time a couple years ago when IUPUI, when they were IUPUI because they've changed their name now, they used to be must-watch TV from an under standpoint. First half unders, full game unders. It was like the best bet in college basketball. They were a horrific offensive team, and I would just bet that in every game they play. So I'm with you. I am well-versed in the IUPUI basketball universe. I've watched them many a time. But yeah, that's a pretty good one. We got Feast Week coming up here, Chelsea, in college basketball. We're going to start getting games at noon and 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So you'll get plenty of opportunities to bet on some of these degenerate and mid-major schools here coming up.
Ooh, can't wait. What is IUPUI now? Like, do you know what they changed their name to? Like, it's sad because I like saying IUPUI.
I do. Let me look at it. I actually can't remember right now off the top of my head. It's Indiana University. It's IU Indy is what it is now. IU Indy instead of IUPUI. Yeah, I know.
And I always remember IPFW is the Mastodons. Like, what a mascot. IPFW. But yeah, those days are coming. Just look towards the bottom of KenPom, and that's usually where you'll find those teams. It's like, you always wonder, there's how many teams are actually in college basketball? Just look at those offensive rankings and you'll find out. It's usually like 362 or something, which is like comically bad.
It is. Mississippi Valley State is like always the worst team in the country. So they're always towards the bottom too.
Gotta love college hoops. It's KenPom season, baby.
Yes,
all right. Well, it's also NFL season. We've got a couple of bets, and we'll see who we have the most faith in today.
Time to place your bets.
All right. Best bet for me is going to be in Monday Night Football. Big matchup between the Cowboys and the Raiders. If you're talking about points, because the total in this one is 50. So I think I'm going to look at this game from a props perspective, and I'm going to look at the offense that feels more trustworthy to me. Because you look at Dallas, and of course, they're underachieving this year. But still, they're scoring the third most points per game of any team in the NFL. So I still think it is matchup-proof, and it's not like the Raiders' defense scares me. And here's the thing. You get a pretty good number on George Pickens tonight. So 64.5 receiving yards. I'm going to hit the over for -114. Just because George Pickens has been putting up CeeDee Lamb-type numbers, but you get his prop almost like 20 yards shorter than what you have to pay on CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb's 89.5. So the game logs for George Pickens are as follows. 79, 78, 82, 168, and 57. And even if you look at those last few games, like, the targets have been there, because usually you think of George Pickens as the longest reception guy. He hasn't even had those in the past couple of games, and he's still gone well over his receiving mark. So if you pepper in like one long reception of like 40 yards, which I think he is fully capable of doing, I think he goes way over this mark. So I think Dak Prescott has a good matchup tonight, and especially when some of the eyes and attention have to go to CeeDee Lamb, I think George Pickens breaks off one of those big receptions, and I think he has a good day when it comes to stats. So let's go over 64.5 receiving yards for George Pickens tonight of the Dallas Cowboys. All right, PJ, what's your best bet?
I'm just going with the side in the game, Chelsea. I'll take the Raiders +3.5 against Dallas. Both teams are coming off a bye. For me, though, it's about the number, getting 3.5, and it's just this Dallas defense on the road laying 3.5 points. You know, like, they're not Cincinnati bad, but they're not too far off. They're the worst against opposing wide receivers. They're bottom three against opposing running backs. Like, they don't stop anything. So Geno Smith and the Raiders have really struggled this season, but I think this is a game where maybe they can get Genty going a little bit, have some success with Brock Bowers. And look, Dallas is maybe a look-ahead spot. We got the Eagles at home next week. So, you know, they'll have an eye on that game. They got the Chiefs upcoming on Thanksgiving. So they got some massive games coming up against the last two teams that played for the Super Bowl. And all that's in between coming off their bye week is a trip to Vegas against the bad Raiders team. So I think Vegas can keep this close. I think it can keep within the number. But it's really, for me, about this Dallas defense on the road. I do not trust them to cover the 3.5. So I think the Raiders keep it close. I think they could win the game. So I'll take Vegas, my best bet, +3.5.
It also feels like Dallas has been overvalued this year. Like, we talk about them underperforming, but like, the market has still been kind of wrong on them. You look at their last four games as favorites, and they've lost three of those four outright. So I just think it's one of those things where you look at this game from the start and you say, okay, is Dallas a trustworthy favorite? And the answer is no. Like, if there's ever a spot for Geno Smith to maybe have a good game, which I know has not been the norm this year, it's against this Dallas offense or defense, excuse me, because we've seen Russell Wilson have a great game against this Dallas defense. So maybe it's the case for another oldie but goodie quarterback in Geno Smith. All right, so I don't think we have any other bets. PJ, do you have any leans? Maybe not official plays, but things that you're kind of leaning towards?
I'm going to take a futures position on the Bears to miss the playoffs at -105. Ah. I think that's a great price. You know, they're 7-3 right now. They're leading the division, but their schedule gets a lot tougher, and they still have to play Green Bay twice. They still have to go on the road and play Philly. Still have to go on the road and play San Francisco. They still have to play Detroit. And then the other two games they get are home against Pittsburgh this week and home against Cleveland as well. Cleveland defense is very good, and you know, Caleb Williams is the kind of quarterback. I've seen Tomlin and the Steelers so many times just win those kind of games and just force three or four turnovers and find a way with that voodoo magic to get a win. So it looks like it's going to be Mason Rudolph this week potentially, but I just think that schedule, the way that it sets up for the Bears and the fact the NFC is pretty tough and they got so many teams with good records, I think the Bears, even though it's been a good start, the regression is going to hit here at some point. So -105 for Chicago to miss the playoffs, I think is a good bet. So yeah, I'm gonna take a position on that here after the show.
Yeah, there's one other bet that I feel like if you look at the matchup grid and you say, okay, the Cowboys are playing tonight and their defense is giving up the most receiving yards to opposing wide receiver, we got to bet some type of receiver on the Raiders, do we not? But then you look at the Raiders receiving core, and they don't even have a true number one receiver. So, like, it sucks that the matchup is so good, and it feels like there's nobody that can take advantage of it. And maybe you say to yourself, okay, Brock Bowers, he's a tight end, but he's treated like a receiver when it comes to targets. But his number tonight is 72.5. Like, he's averaging 63 this season, and he's had some really low outputs. I understand, like, the last time he played was against the Broncos, which is a very tough defensive matchup. But 72.5, like, that's a high number for somebody like Geno Smith and this Raiders offense that I do not implicitly trust. Like, is anybody going to be shocked if Geno Smith throws for, like, 135 yards? No. So 72.5 is a big slice of that pie. So that is a big sabotage factor for me. But again, the matchup is the best matchup you could possibly think of.
It's tough, you know, to bet on the Raiders and their prop market because you don't know. This is the kind of game where it's bad on bad. One of the worst offenses in the league versus one of the worst defenses in the league. So, you know, does somebody have an advantage? Is it just a low scoring game? Do we get a shootout? It's tough. The Raiders are a tough team to bet on from a prop standpoint. They've been so bad just about all year. Genty's only had one game. He's rushed for over 100 yards. Bowers has been their only consistent receiving option. So it's a tough team to bet on. I like your Pickens play. I think definitely Dallas is more so the team to target props with, but yeah, when it comes to the Raiders, I just, you know, it's one of those things that I just don't feel like anything's a good angle, you know? Like, you're trying to fade the Dallas defense, but you just don't really know with, like, what players you want to fade them with.
Yeah, like over the weekend, I was thinking to myself, oh, the Dolphins have a great matchup on paper. The Commanders' defense has been like a great matchup to target for opposing offenses. And what do the Dolphins do? They score a total of 16 points, even going to overtime. So sometimes the matchup isn't everything. All right, that's going to do it for us here at the Daily Tip. Have a great Monday. Best of luck on all of your bets. We will see you bright and early tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. in the East. Have a great day.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.